Well, yeah. Well, good morning again. Thank God today we have, even though the weather's not so perfect, people have come, which is amazing. It's good. It'll clear up for us, right? Okay, good. So we're continuing. I know I thought that this would be quicker than it is, but anyways, as I go into it, I find a lot of beautiful things, so we'll take it as it comes. That's it. Exactly right. You're right. There's no rush. Every word is holy. It doesn't matter. There's no destination, as we say. That's the truth. It's true. So we were doing, and we did quite a bit of understanding the first part of the parsha, and we're going to go a little bit more today with the brachas. That's what we're doing. So these are the brachas, as we say, in parshas Bechukaisai. As we've mentioned, the Torah has really two times where it does this, you would say. In this week's parsha, I mean not this week, in the parsha Bechukaisa that we're learning, as well as in parshas Kisavai. Parshas Kisavai is towards the end of Chumash Devarim, and there you have also the concept of brachas and what we call in Hebrew klalos. They translate it as different ways, admonitions, the toichacha, where they're telling us off, or curses, however you want to say it, because the truth is a bit sugar-coating when you say admonitions, because it's quite harsh and severe. In our parsha, it's actually, in quantity, it's less. There's 49, we're going to see today a little bit, there's 49 negatives, whereas in parshas Kisavai, there's actually 98. And they're actually a little bit harsher even, because they're more explicit, because it goes into more detail about all the different terrible negative things that will happen. But what's fascinating is that during the year, whenever we read Parshas Bechukaisai, it's at least a week before Shavuos. That's around when it's done. And Parshas Kisavai is always read before Rosh Hashanah, whether it's like 2 weeks before, which is very, very important because it actually makes a difference. The idea being, as we saw from the beginning, and we'll stress again today, Parshas Bechukaisai tells us what will happen when we listen, when we learn Torah, not only listen, when we learn and involve ourselves deeply in actually learning Torah. And then obviously the idea, the goal of learning is to apply and to do the mitzvahs. And then all the beautiful results that follow. But then of course, unfortunately, if we don't, all the negatives that happen. And it's very important before the giving of the Torah for us to strengthen our connection to the Torah. That's why it makes sense for Parshas Bechukaisai to be read before Shavuos. Now with Parshas Kisavai before Rosh Hashanah, well, there's two things. First of all, we know that the second set of luchos were received on Yom Kippur, which is a continuation from Rosh Hashanah. But even more than that, just the idea that, as we know, Rosh Hashanah is the time of year that we take all our good resolutions for the new year. And the idea, exactly, the idea is that we got a bit of, sometimes we need a bit of a shake-up. So we're told all the good things that will happen if we resolve to do good, and all the negatives that will happen if we don't. Okay, so it makes sense in that way. But as we are in Parshas Bechukaisai. Now today, what I'd like to do is, I'm sorry, we're just in the middle. So what we're going to do is, let's see what page number it is. We're going to go back. I know we're going to have to skip a little, but I did number the pages, so it shouldn't be too difficult to find. And what I'd like you to do is to go to page number 7. In your booklet, and we're going to come back to the other pages soon, because we're going to look more at the psukim soon. Okay, page number 7. Let me scroll down here, and then we'll. So now we were in the middle of that beautiful Arach Chaim HaKadosh, and he's explaining in detail just the first three words. Actually, it's the whole first pasuk, but most emphasis on the first three words, which were Im Bechukaisai Teilechu. Literally, we translate, if you will walk in my statutes, as we said, if you involve yourself deeply in learning Torah. The reason why we say it has to be learning Torah is because the pasuk continues, the es mitzvaisai tishmeiru, that you will keep my mitzvahs. So bechukaisai can't just mean mitzvahs, because the next phrase says keeping the mitzvahs. So it must be referring to the learning which precedes and makes you able to do the mitzvahs. Okay, so we'll run through a few beautiful, beautiful. As we said, he has so many, and we're not doing all, we're just picking and choosing. So on page number 7, there's a hey, which has a circle, because we did some of the other ones last week. And some will do inside, and some will do a bit orally. And here he explains that when it comes to learning Torah, especially involving yourself, Bechukaisai, which we said was amelim, really getting involved in learning Torah, he compares it to like somebody who's going into a orchard and there's a lot of fruit trees, and the person is, I don't know the right word for it, in Hebrew, in Yiddish you would say, erspatziert. How do you say it in English? to make take a spazier. Yes, but it's a nicer way. That's not the good translation. I know, but it doesn't do justice. Go for a walk, but like to, you know,
a stroll.
Okay, yes, to stroll. That's the right way. So you stroll through the orchard, which means you're enjoying the sights, the smells, and you're just wanting to pick, not necessarily even to pick the fruits, but just to see them and to be there in that atmosphere. And he says it's the same thing with us in Torah. You come, you sit, you learn, you involve yourself, and it's a pleasure. It's a pleasurable activity. But he says somebody who's learning Torah has to be careful. They have to be careful that even though you're permitted to stroll through and look and analyze, but you cannot interpret things the wrong way. Sometimes you can become very personal and decide that something means something this way, and that's not the right, correct way to translate. So you have to check and make sure that you're interpreting things properly according to halacha. So that's what in B'chukai say Telecho, that you have to walk, but you have to walk the proper way, as he says, and he used, because the next part is, V'es mitzvaisai tishmairu. Make sure to keep my commandments, to interpret the Torah the right way. Okay, let's go down now to Zion. And Zion's a cute one. He says, what is imbechu kaisa? Now he emphasizes the word teilechu. He says, oid yirtzal derech aymrem zechreinim l'racha, heve goyle l'makim Torah. That a person should, literally the translation is exile themselves, which means you should always be traveling to a place of Torah. Interesting, I guess that's the mile of coming here instead of sitting at home, but he says, shetzorech l'chateis raglov. Interesting words. You should literally move your legs in order from one place, mimakim l'makim, to learn Torah. And that's part of the mitzvah. That's why it says, teilechu, you should walk. Actually walk to involve yourself in learning Torah. So also it means that sometimes in those days especially, but even now, you find people will go to a yeshiva far away because maybe there's, I don't know, a better somebody who can teach. So you do travel to learn. It's part of the way that we have to sometimes do it, and that's an important part of the mitzvah. That's why it says teilechu. Okay, on page number 8. If you look on page number 8, we'll go to a few more Yud Gimel. He says, very interesting, Yud Gimel, oid yispa'er al derech aymram zal, eilu devarim. These, remember we say in the morning, these are the things that a person receives their reward in this world and in the world to come. So what did it at the end? The Talmud Torah kineget kulam. It lists a bunch of very important mitzvahs like right, Bikur Cholim and Halvayas Hameis and all the beautiful mitzvahs that a person has to do, but the one that corresponds and, so to speak, weighs as much as all of them is learning Torah. That equals all of them together. So that's why he says, Im b'chukaisai teilechu, that if you walk in my ways, meaning if you learn Torah, I consider it as if you've kept all my mitzvahs. Okay, another beautiful way. Let's see a few more. Tezayin. See on the same page, on the second column. Oy dirtze, he says, Sha'asr la'adam lasum la'derech pa'amav at she'yakdim divrei Torah. Another interesting thing. It says, Im b'chukaisai teilechu, which means if you want to walk, you have to first learn Torah. Before we go on a journey, before we go anywhere, we have to first learn something. Not only that, one of the real reasons is that, so while we are journeying, what should be our conversation? What we learned. And we realize it's a very powerful thing that if a person learns and takes what they learned with them, and this also means throughout the day, the whole day, every word that comes out of your mouth, every interaction is totally different. And he says a beautiful thing, not only that, but if you do that, in b'chukaisai teilechu, then he says a beautiful line, he says, perish kishyesh limu Torah teilechu as teilech lavetach. You will walk securely. You will have that sense of security when you walk with Torah. So that's a beautiful thing also. Riv, you have a question? Or?
No,
okay.
It's my final time.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Oy vey. Ay. Okay. I'm sorry. So mishugge. Oh, gosh. Okay, let's see. Oh, that's, they've already shown it, so it's only once, it's enough, once, don't worry. Okay, then he says, another beautiful one, that sometimes a person has good intention. They want to do something, we all know, we wake up in the morning, good intention, we wanted to make this phone call, we wanted to do this, but it doesn't happen. We wanted to learn something, it doesn't happen. So here the pasuk hints us a beautiful thing. He says, if you look into the words of the pasuk, it tells us that even if you didn't manage to do it, if you intended, Hashem will consider it as if you've done it. How do you see it? He says, "Im b'chukaisai telechu," it's the future. If you will walk, in other words, you intend to walk in my ways, and mitzvaisai tishmairu, that you want to do my mitzvahs, then Hashem says, va'asisem oisam, which is already past tense. I will consider it as if you've already done it. As soon as you intend, it's as if it's done, in the good. Interesting, it says in the bad, it doesn't work that way. If you intend to do something negative, Hashem doesn't consider it done until you actually do it. It's interesting. But with a positive thing, it's already a merit. It's already a good tick once you intend to do. Okay, let's see on page number 9, another just one or two beautiful ones. It's amazing how much, just to see the depth is incredible. Let's see, it's number Chavav, the 26th explanation. So he says, another way to explain it, also very beautiful, in B'chu Kaisai. Now he's explaining B'chu Kaisai in a different way. The word chayk, chukaisai, is my statutes. But my statutes in this context means the way I run the world, nature. Chayk can sometimes be nature, because that's the way Hashem actually established that the world runs, and in a very consistent way. That's what chayk is, where it's a very strong decree. And that is the decree of nature. So he says an interesting thing. How does a Jew walk? In whose chayk does a Jew walk? In whose approach, if you want to say, not in the approach of nature, but chukaisai, in my way, which means Hashem's way. What's Hashem's way? Higher than nature. And where do we see that? We just had it in a few parashiyos ago. It says about Avram. What did Hashem say to Avram? Look up at the stars, right? Go out and look up at the stars. Why? Because I'm going to lift you above the stars. I'm taking you above the regular chayk. You will live your life by chukaisai, by my dictates, a whole different way of living. And this, the only way to do that, as he says, is if we learn Torah. Because when we learn Torah, what we're doing is that we're attaching ourselves to Hashem, and thereby we're lifting ourselves above nature. And then our whole life will run in a different way. We won't be bound by the binds of nature. And then, as we say the famous line, Ein mazel li Yisrael. Then we won't be just going according to nature, to whatever the mazel is. It will be Hashem's decision how what should happen in our life. Okay, that's another one. And let's see Chaf Tes, oh, another beautiful one, which is also on this page 9, on the bottom, the last one, the 29th one, he says, Oid Yispair, another explanation, Al Derech Imram, Zechreinam Levracha, Shetzorich Ha'adam Lilmaid Musar, Mechukais HaShamayim. We have to learn a lesson, Musar means like a strong lesson, from the Chukais HaShamayim, meaning the constellations of the heavens. In other words, how nature works. How does nature work? She'ein mishanin tafkidam. They never change from their mission, from their job, right? Every single day, a person wakes up, and unless it's raining, I mean, if it's raining, it's meant to rain. What happens? The sun rises. Even when it's raining, the sun rises. And every night, every evening, the sun sets. There's no change, right? I mean, unless miracles, the few times, but every day, every single day. It doesn't matter. They're very consistent and they do it. So he says, and not only that, the beautiful line we say in Shabbos, they don't just do it, but they do it, v'sosim usmeichim la'aseis ritzein habayre. They do it with joy. They're full of joy to do the will of their Creator. And so to we, in B'chu Kaisai, we should also walk in the ways that nature does, following Hashem's dictates, consistently, day in and day out. And yet, even though it's constant, still with tremendous joy. And that's a very important thing. Again, in B'chu Kaisai, Teilechu. So that's how we should walk. And when we do that, when we live our life that way, all the good things that we mention will follow. The truth is, even before we get to following, that's the beauty of it, already we're in a different state. Because when a person lives their life, as we always say, you know, like your beautiful book, Prayer, when you live your life with gratitude, and you realize everything comes from Hashem, and everything is God, and everything and Hashem is with us, our whole life, no matter what we encounter, is different. It's just a different world, a different life, and we're able to be consistent and do what we're meant to do. Okay, then just on page number 10, it's just one more. This is it. So I'm going to do two more beautiful ones. Or one more? Yeah, two more. Mem Aleph, it says 41. He says, oh, this is a cute one. It's a play, a little bit of play on words, but he says, Im b'chu kaysay teilechu, that you should walk in my chayk. Now we say always that chayk, what is chayk? Chayk represents a decree. What is the decree that unfortunately we know never changes? I mean, it will, but never changes. Every person that is born eventually will pass away, right? That's a fact. That's the way Hashem made the world. There's nobody getting out of it, right? Until Mashiach comes, everybody who is born has a time that they will pass away. So he says, if a person walks with that consciousness, with that awareness, that there is a chayk, meaning that there's a time that I will pass away, their whole life will be led differently. We all know your priorities are different. You remember what's important, and it stops you from doing wrong things, insulting somebody, or, right? As if you keep in mind, and as we know, there's actually a thing in Pirkei Avos, I think I'll show you on the top, he quotes it, I think. He says, let me just see if he says it. He said, there's a famous thing that a person should shuv yom echad lefnei misascha. A person should do tshuva one day before he passes away, right? And we all say, but we don't know when we're going to pass away. And that's the idea. We should always be in a state of tshuva because we don't know what the last minute of our life is.
How are you spelling
koik? Okay, so just ches kuf, which literally, as so many translations, literally means a decree, a law. Uh-huh, because it's a law that doesn't have a meaning.
So
that's exactly,
word.
It's the same word. Yeah, same word. It's just, you know, each one has its slight different variant, but it's same, yeah. Okay, that's what he says. That's what he says, she gzeiras hamaves, that misa, that you should keep the decree of death, that shechokak Hashem, that, and here he's actually using a different way. Shechokak Hashem means that Hashem engraved, because that is a permanent thing in the world. Hashem engraved death, so to speak, into the world. That's part of the cycle of life, is that everybody passes away. That's the chayk of it. It's chukah, it's engraved, and if we keep that in mind, we will live a different life. Okay, one last one, also very nice. This is a more spiritual one. So just take it to Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, is quite a lot al pi Kabbalah, but just a very cute one. He says, the last one that we'll do, number 42, Oid Yisbar, this is the last one that he gives, Al derech ma she'amru b'perek ha'seicher, so on page 10, es ha'pay'alim daf pehe. Okay, so he says like this, that he's quoting from a story that it says, she'amar loy Eliyahu, Eliyahu told him, a simin lahaker kisei shel Rabbi Chia, there is a simin, there's a sign to know which is the chair of Rabbi Chia. Now Rabbi Chia was one of the great tzaddikim, the great tanoim, and in Gan Eden, there's a way to know which one is his place. Okay, what does that mean? Let's see. Bahalichasai migan Eden shel mata li yeshiva shel maila. He travels from what we call Gan Eden down here, because there's different levels in Gan Eden, to the yeshiva on high. Perhaps even, we don't know what goes on up there. Maybe there's times where people can spend time in a different place in Gan Eden and then come back, or perhaps it even means when you have an aliyah generally. So he's going from one place in Gan Eden to another place in Gan Eden. And you know what? This malach says, Eliyahu actually, Hanavi says, there's a way to know which one is the chair of Rabbi Chia. Why? Because what happens? Shehaya oila me'atzmai. Because when he would move, it would be on his own. He didn't need somebody to carry his chair. It seems that other people need a special malach to help them move from one domain to the other. But Rabbi Chia, he can do it on his own. Why? So let's see what he says. As he says, V'loi ha'yotzarech l'malochem la'aloisei k'shar ha'tzadikim. He doesn't need angels to move him like the rest of tzadikim. V'zeh ha'sagosoi ho'yso be'em tso'us hishtadlusoi nimratz be'esek ha'tayra la'atzmai v'la'acherim. Because he was so kept this, where he learned Torah so deeply, and not only for himself, but he shared it with others. It says Rabbi Chia is the one that we ascribe, that because of him, Torah wasn't forgotten from the Jewish people. Why? Because he ensured that the young children should learn Torah. And that was a very big thing. So that's what kept it going from generation to generation. The whole thing in his time in the Romans was very difficult and very challenging, and he ensured that it should happen. It used to be that the parents would pass on to their children, but it became quite difficult, so he made sure that there was teachers, not only parents, so that Torah should never be forgotten from the Jewish people. And therefore, he has the merit that he can move on his own, even in the higher realms. Where do we see that in the word? So he says, Im b'chukai sai teilecho, which means, by involving yourself in my chukim, what happens then is teilecho, you will be able to walk on your own. And here we're not talking walking on your own in this world, we're talking even walking on your own in the world to come, which is a much higher level than needing to be carried. Okay, it's just a play, but it's a very beautiful idea. Im b'chukai sai. Again, so much in this unbelievable how much depth there is. Okay. Now, I just want to say like this. Okay, so before we go, we're just going to move on in a second to go. As I said, we read the psukim. We're not going to reread them, but we didn't explain. We're going to categorize a little bit the brachas, just to give us a bit of a general idea of what these brachas contain in a second. Just before we go in, I just wanted to share two beautiful ideas, because we keep on mentioning this idea of Im b'chukai sai teilecho, that we are talking about learning Torah very, very deeply. So I heard another person on the net, always he speaks so nicely, is Rabbi Gordon, Alva Shalom from California, and he actually gives daily study, he does beautifully, so he's very, very much pushes that people should be learning Torah every day. So one of his talks was on actually encouraging people to learn Torah every day, and he gives it so beautifully, and he describes, and it was just before Shavuos, I think, so, and he says it so magnificently, and he says, and it's true, he bases even on our Pasuk, Im b'chukai sai teilecho. He says, if a person wants to have a good day, the only way you're going to have a good day is if you start your day with learning something. That's how he says. And if you do, you're guaranteed that your day will be different than if you don't. No question about it. And he says so cutely, he says, even though the person that goes to Davin with the minyan, let's say, or comes to a shir, and now, let's say you guys starting your day at 10:30, you have an hour less than other people who might have started their day before that. You're at a disadvantage. He says, no, it's not a disadvantage. He says, they'll work harder and you'll work smarter. That's the way he says it. The truth is, because it's true, you'll take the Torah with you. And when you take the Torah with you, things just work out. That's the way, however they're meant to work out. But the truth is, they work out. They work out where you can accept things so much better, so much calmer, and so much more with a positive way. So it's a very beautiful idea. And this is what Im b'chukai sai teilecho, that's how we are meant to live. So now, just as an introduction, again, before we go into the brachas, to another very beautiful idea, as we're talking about chukai sai, we said, was learning Torah, like chayik, a decree, or learning, but also it's to do with engraved. So there's a very beautiful story, and it goes like this. That it's a fascinating story. It's a story that really happened. It happened in, I don't know when it was, 1920s, I guess, maybe 1930s in America. The previous Lubavitcher Rebbe had come to the U.S., and he used to send some of his people, there wasn't shluchim in those days like there is now, maybe one or two, but he used to send some of his great chassidim to travel through America. And he sent one very great chassid, his name was Reb Shmuel Levitin, he was actually a very brilliant, and like a Rosh Hashiva, whatever. Anyways, he sent him to Chicago. And he said, there's a Jew there in Chicago that comes from, I guess his parents, his grandparents, whatever, were chassidic family. He wasn't obviously anymore in that space, but he was a good man, and he said he sent him to see him. He wanted him, his name is, even says the name in the story, Charles Listener or something. So sends him to see him. Okay, he goes to Chicago, Reb Shmuel Levitin, and he tries to find him. Well, he's not exactly in a shul, but anyways, he finds him in his office, and he goes to visit. And he gives him regards from the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, and this Mr. Listener is very touched that he got this special visit and this special regards. And then, you know, they're wrapping up the conversation. He gives some encouraging words. And he takes out, Mr. Listener takes out his checkbook. Because what does he think? Obviously, why is this man coming to see him? Because he wants a donation. So this man, Reb Shmuel, says, I don't want a donation. So he says, well, why did you come? If not for a donation, I don't understand. He says, not only don't I want, but if you're going to give me, I'm not taking. Obviously, for this, it was very important. So he explained to him like this, why did I come? And he gives him a parable, and it's actually a beautiful parable. And he says, in days of old, I mean, even nowadays, you know, we have Sefer Torahs and Mezuzahs, and most communities would have their own sefer, their own scribe. So they can check, and things would need to be fixed every once in a while. But then what happens when you have remote communities or very small communities. So they don't have a scribe on site. So what would happen is that a sefer would travel around, and every once in a while, and let's say, and then check everything, and let's say if the Sefer Torah had a letter that had been, you know, the ink had faded, he would fix it, or a mezuzah, and he would fix it. So this Reb Shmuel says to Mr. Listener, well, every Jew is a living Sefer Torah. So I have come like that traveling scribe to encourage, to fill in a few missing, you know, lines, a few faded marks. Very nice. He was so touched. Reb Shmuel goes back to the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe and he gives him, you know, a whole accounting of everything that happened on his trip, and he tells him what he had said. So the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe said to Reb Shmuel, he says, it's beautiful, but you made one small, which actually is a big mistake, not in a bad way we're saying it, but something very important for us to know. He said like this, there's a very big difference between a Jew and a Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah, how is it written? It's ink on a parchment. Ink is separate from the parchment, so the ink can get rubbed off, and then you have to use ink again and write it again. A Jew is not like a Sefer Torah. A Jew is more like the Luchos. The godliness is engraved in the Jew. The only thing that can happen in engraved, it can't be erased, but sometimes some dirt can fill in the hole and you don't see the letter. So all you have to do is clean out the dirt. So it's different than having to take a new ink and rewriting something. It's rather revealing what's really already there. And these are the words, Im b'chukosai telechu, chakika. The Torah and a Jew are one. We are engraved. We are engraved with our neshama. We are engraved with the Torah. And we are one with Hashem and His Torah. And that's a very different way of how we live and how we look at our life. And I want to show you something beautiful. Look at a page. What page number is it? I don't know what page I made it for you. On page number 2, I think it's 11. If you go to page number 11, I'll show you something really nice here. Okay, so we'll just do a little bit inside of this. So here, we have a very fascinating concept this is a sicha, but it's just important to get a context as we're talking, because these are very beautiful ideas. So we said now that the Torah is this concept of engraved. So let's keep that in mind, because this is what will help us understand. We asked a question, and we went into it in depth last week. We won't go into it in depth again. But the question we asked was, it seems as if the Torah emphasizes physical rewards and not spiritual rewards. And it's funny, because physical rewards and material rewards are so temporary, and Torah is such an eternal thing and such a holy thing, right? We mentioned it. So here the Rebbe asks it in a different way. He says like this also, we have a very fascinating concept that when it comes to the time of Mashiach, it actually describes in many places, I know, you know, we teach it to children, sometimes we think it's just fairy tales, but it's not. All kinds of things that will happen when Mashiach will come. Some of the examples are that there will be delicacies, you know, these gluskois and klimilas and fancy, beautiful, tailored clothing, and that the fruits will ripen in one day, and that all this kind of stuff. So they're very beautiful. But the question is that what we will want when Mashiach will come? Don't we always understand that at the time of Mashiach, we will be so spiritually aware and we will be so spiritually involved that these things will be almost meaningless to us? Even though we'll eat, we'll drink, but we'll do it just because we need the energy. But it won't matter to us. So what are these rewards? Where does that make sense? It's a similar concept to the question we asked, why all this material and physical, so to speak, rewards being emphasized in our parsha. So the Rebbe says something very beautiful, we're going to go inside in a second. He says, maybe we can answer that because the Torah is talking to everybody, to the masses, and even though we're meant to do Torah mitzvahs not for the sake of a reward, right? That's the ultimate. And even though what's meant to be our priority, the spiritual realm, but for most of us, we're ordinary people. And what do we relate to? We relate to the physical material world. I mean, the physical material world is not just delicacies. You know, as we said, peace in the land, security, not being anxious, all these things that are very precious to us. So it's normal for the Torah to deal with those things because that's for most people what they relate to. But it's not a good enough answer. Why? We just said that the words im b'chukosai telechu means somebody who learns Torah, right? That's what they do, to the point where Torah becomes one with them. Chayk, chuka, in the sense of chakika, engraved. Somebody who learns Torah to such an extent, hopefully the idea is that it should lift him a little bit, that his priorities shouldn't just be the simple mundane things, rather he should live on a higher plane. So how does it work? Why, again, we're strengthening the question right after saying that the person's going to be so involved in learning Torah. Does it go through all of the details of things that we'll see soon, all the very nice physical material rewards? How does it fit? Okay, so I'm going to show you, which helps us with the beautiful attitude of the way we live. So on page number 11, we'll do just a little bit inside, more mostly outside because it takes longer inside, I know. Okay, he says like this. So if you look on the second column of page number 11, it says, as we just mentioned, when we say bichukaisai, it is engraved, which means shelimad hatayra v'kiyam hamitzvus kan hu loy rak ba'ayfin shel amal v'yegiyastam. We're not just talking about somebody who puts effort into learning Torah, ella ba'ayfin shel chakika. Rather, we're talking about somebody who learns Torah in a way where it literally becomes engraved. Shehatayra v'hamitzvus chakukim b'libay. It's very beautiful. The Torah mitzvah becomes engraved on his heart, u'b'chol mahusay, and his whole essence. He becomes like a living Torah, right? As we say. So that's why the question is a little bit hard for us. It makes the question a little bit more. Okay, so he says, obviously we're talking about a very high level of learning. Go to page number 12, because I want to show you something very beautiful on page 12. This we'll do inside. Okay, so if you look on page number 12, it's Dalid. There's a Dalid there, right on the first column, and then it says Al HaTayra. Because this gives us a beautiful perspective of what Tayra is. Sometimes we think Tayra is, like, you know, we set aside a certain amount of time, we learn Tayra, but then we go back to our normal life, right? That's what we think. Okay, let's understand what Torah is. He says, for a Jew, Al ha-Torah nemar, hu chayecha v'oirech yamecha. Right? We say it in Ma'ariv, but Torah is our life and the length of our days. Right? That's what Torah is. Torah is our life, which means lo rak shehatayra meviya chayim. It doesn't mean that just that Torah brings life Laha Adam to the person ba'aylam haza in this world uba'aylam haba and in the world to come. Ella shehihi achayim shall call echad va'achas miYisrael. It is the life of every Jew. It is our life, meaning it's like the blood that pumps through our system. That's what Torah is. It's us. It's our life. V'hainu shebenegeya le'ish Yisrael. When we're talking about a Jewish person, ein ha'Torah davar noisaf. It's not an additional thing al mitzuyusay on his existence. Ve'echad mishar pratim b'chayav, and just another detail in his life. Elohim mahusay. The chayav mamish. It's literally his essence. That's what Torah is. Now, just like a person, when you take apart a person, you know, we have a head, we have hands, we have feet. There's different parts of us. But that's true for the external parts of us. But when you're talking about the life force goes through all of us. And when do we see when a person is truly alive? It's a very interesting thing. And when do we see, and there's a very beautiful example that the Rebbe brings, that something is truly matters to you. When do you see that something truly matters to you? When it affects all parts of you. So a typical example would be, because we don't think of it this way, you know, we're not philosophical that way, because life would be difficult to live if we would think about every move we make. But if we analyze, imagine you go to a wedding, and what happens at a wedding? Let's say especially the parents of the people getting married are so excited, you know, they brought their child to the chuppah. What could be a greater joy than that? That's it. So what happens? You're in such a state, I mean, this is like the greatest joy. But what do? You dance. Where does dancing come in? Lifting the feet. What does that have to do with that? You would think a person might, think something great. I don't know what you would think. The heart. But we're talking about just lifting your feet, the simplest, the lowest part of you. Because when you are filled with true joy, which means when something is really affecting you, it affects every part of your body. You see that also, that not only do you lift your feet, but you sweat, every part of you. It's like your hands, your head, everything is affected. There's not any part of you. That's the sign of true life, of true something which is really you. So now, if you look on the side which has the stars, I want to read you two beautiful paragraphs. May ein dugma ledavar. Adam, so now that's the one I just said, the second paragraph. Umize yuvan. So this we understand also when we're talking about the Torah being our life. The revelation and the expression of this, that the Torah is our life, the whole Mosai and our whole essence of the person. When the Torah actually affects. Umashpia, right? And it literally flows onto loyrak al inyane nishmasai, not only on his spiritual self, inyanim ruchniim v'nailim, the higher parts, elagam b'inyanim gufniim, rather, what's the sign that Torah is one with us? When it affects us physically, in our physical parts, ubechol inyanav hagashmiim hashayachim elav, all the physical parts that are connected to us. And therefore he says, if our rewards would just be in the spiritual realm, we know, we said, the rewards are not an extra thing like a present, you know, that Hashem gives us because you did something good. They're actually a direct consequence in a good way. You do something, it causes that positive thing to happen. What's the sign that the Torah is us? We are Torah. It affects every part of us. So it affects us physically. So therefore, what's the direct result of that? That the physical world also works in sync to be in the most positive, beautiful, uplifting, beneficial way for us. Which means, obviously, there are spiritual rewards. That's for sure. But the sign that Torah has truly become part of us is that it even affects the physical, which in turn affects the physical surroundings. That's the greatest sign that us and the Torah are one. That the Torah has become engraved. Do you understand? It's a very beautiful concept. Yeah, okay, so an example would be. So let's say in this example, we're just trying to think how, you know, I think the Rebbe actually gives an example. Let me just see something, Yeah, he gives an example also even with the rewards for the time of Mashiach. So like he says like this, let's say for example, we said that one thing he says is that the fruits will ripen on the same day. When you plant it, and it will ripen. What's the idea? Because the physical world will be so aware of its creator. So everything will be happening on a whole different speed. Everything will be happening in a sort of, the spiritual will be affecting the physical. It's like in more where spiritual, there's no concept of time. So even though it'll still be a physical world, but it will go higher than time.
Is that when they talk about your actions here, there is a mirror effect above?
Exactly right. And then it reflects back. Do you see? A mirror, exactly right. And that's what's going to happen. But for our life even, we see it like this. I'll tell you, for our life, the best example for this is that what we're meant to do, as you're saying now, we talk about learning. So we come to this year, but then we go back to our normal life, as we say. If today, when we went to a shir, is the same as yesterday, if we didn't go to a shir, something was wrong. We didn't, the Torah didn't become part of us. It has to be that now, whatever we're going to do for the next few hours will be different than it would have been without it. That's for us a sign that our learning has truly become part of us. Now, what happens is like this, though. Hashem says, we learn, so we do that effort. We also try to take our learning with us. So let's say we talk differently to somebody, we respond differently, we have a better positive attitude, whatever it may be, we do something more. But then what Hashem says is, I will also do my part. So I will provide that things will actually be able to happen for you. I will enable you. So that's where you affect the physical in that way. So you cause things like a domino, where you cause things that, so you do the right thing and then things fall into place. Again, not everything, obviously life doesn't work, it's not simple that way. But it just makes things, as we said last time, that's part of the reward, quote unquote, was that Hashem enables us and allows us to do mitzvahs. So you get the right phone call, you go to the store and they have what you needed and you don't have to go to 10 if you're lucky.
I guess that puts that's you in a mental place of that you're able to see that.
Exactly right, exactly right. 100%. So everything is just, it's a whole different life. No, you can't compare. And this is what chakika is. This is what bichuka is. It's such an important part for us to understand. Now, we're going to go on. I'm sorry, we're not going to do the rest inside. I know it's just all... okay. Yeah, okay. Let's go now to page... I know I made a lot of... Okay. Before we go to page, I just want to share something with you. Okay, let me go back. I guess we'll just listen, because what we're going to do is I'm just going to share with you, as we said, just to divide, just quickly to go through... to understand what the blessings contain. We did read the psukim, so now just to give a quick thing, because there are many commentaries that try, what they do is they sort of categorize it, and they give us, generally speaking, they say that there are actually, we can divide this into, I think it's five sets of brachas. So let's see what the five sets of brachas are. What are they? So the first set that we learned about when we spoke about the rain in its right time, so he says, this is the concept of fruitfulness of the land. That's the general category of the blessings, of the first set of blessings. And what does it mean, fruitfulness of the land? So he says that, it's interesting, first of all, that we'll have rain, that's just on the simple level, so things will grow. But as we mentioned, that everything will be healthier, because when there's rain and the air is healthier, so he says healthier animals, healthier people, and hopefully people can live longer. That's part of this bracha. But interesting, also the commentary say, it says, Venasati gishmechem, your rain, right? What does your rain mean? So if some commentaries say that it will rain specifically in the land of Israel, if you follow in Hashem's ways, what will happen is that everybody will have to come on to the people in Israel, because their crops will grow better, and therefore they will be the ones to supply to others. Another thing is also, he says, that... let me just see how he says it here beautifully, that, yeah, other people will come to buy, and also it's going to be your rain because you brought them. Like we're saying now, when you do good, you cause even the physical blessing. So it will be gishmechem, even though rain falls because Hashem wants it to fall, but it will be in your merit because you have lived a life of Torah. And then he says another beautiful, and part of this bracha is also, just thinking about the security, because really that comes to afterwards. Let me just see. Oh, one other very beautiful thing. It's also, he says, in this bracha, he says, V'achaltem lachmechem l'soiva, that you will eat your bread to the full, which means that you shall live, he says, leads to, you shall live in security in your land. Why? Because when a person, it's very cute, when a person is busy with working the land, they'll stay there. They're not going to move away. You, first of all, you become attached to your land when you work on it, and it will give you that sense of fulfillment and that sense of productivity, so you won't leave. So that's also part of that. Another beautiful thing he says is, the Meshech Chochma says very beautifully, that this is the concept also of the harmony between nature and Torah. Because what happens is, usually we see miracles, that's when we notice God. But when nature works properly, when it rains at the right time, and why is it doing that? Because we have learned Torah, so to speak. What that does is it gives us the wake-up call that we don't need the miracles to remind us who's giving us everything. Even nature itself reminds us. And we are constantly aware that it is Hashem who runs the world. He runs nature, and we are aware of it. That's the first set of blessings. That's the consciousness of that life. The second, he says, is the blessing of peace. That's the general term for the second. Now, what is peace? And this is very interesting, because if you look if you go at the beginning of this pasuk, hey and vav, I'll just go back here. It's on page 1, I think, of your booklet, where we have the chumash, the psukim. It's very interesting, because these psukim, he says, really, it's one bracha. I'll just see hey and vav. Sorry, just scroll all the way back, page 1. Okay, so hey says... I just want to show you the last three words. V'yishavtem lavetach ba'artzachem. You will live insecurity in your land, right? Then Pasuk Vav says, V'nasati shalom ba'aretz, and I will grant peace in the land, right? So the question is, what's the difference? If there's security, that means there's peace. What's the difference between security and peace? Do you see? Interesting. Two separate concepts of the same bracha, but what is the emphasis? So there's a few ways to look at it, beautiful ways. So it says like this. So one of the Mefarshim say like this, that there will be real peace. This is a beautiful one. What is real peace? Real peace, not just imaginary peace. What does that mean? Like this. Sometimes, and this happens to us in many, I think nowadays it happened a lot, that things are not really going so well in the world. But for many, some people, actually in a way it's a bracha, some people are positive people, or perhaps they can't cope with stress, so they create a reality which is not a reality. They live in a bubble. Some people call the people in South Africa living in that, right? They live in this bubble, this fake reality. So what do? They think that they're okay, but they're really not okay. Things are not really secure, but they just live in this fake security. There really isn't peace, but they have no choice, so they make believe. He says, no. What's going to happen is there's going to be real security, and therefore you will have true peace. It won't just be imaginary in your mind, something that you're creating. That's the first thing. The Or HaChaim says, very beautifully, that peace refers to a state of calm between the various groups in the country itself. So when you talk about security, that's from the countries around. The peace will be as well in the land itself. So that's a double thing. Around will be peace, and inside, in the different factions, will be peace. He says also, because when you have why it leads from the previous bracha, when you have an abundance of food and people have enough, when the economy is strong, it does lend itself that it's possible for people to get along better. It just helps for the security, that sense of feeling of, yeah, as we can see, unfortunately, that's how it is in history. Okay, another thing also, another interesting thing, the Or HaChaim says, when it says, let me just see the words, V'nasati shalom ba'aretz. So first it says, Lavetach ba'artzachem, right, that you will live in security in your land. And then it says, V'nasati shalom ba'aretz, in the land. So the Or HaChaim says, in the land means in the whole world there will be peace. What does that mean? Why? Who cares? If it's peace in Israel, who cares if there's peace in the whole world? He says, no, it matters. Because even if there's peace where you're living, but if there's unrest somewhere else, there's always that niggling worry. It might come here, who knows what's going to happen, right? When there's peace everywhere and there's peace in your land, wow, you're really in a good state. So that's the tremendous bracha. That's what the Or HaChaim says. I just want to see. Okay. So, and especially the countries around the land of Israel, because that's the most scary for us when it's not peace there. And we see that now as well, definitely. Okay, another beautiful thing the Chassam Sefer says. He says, what this means is, I will give you peace in the land. That's a feeling of contentment. Because even though, sometimes, interesting, sometimes dafke, when you have a lot, like if the land is fruitful, sometimes what it makes people is want more. You know, you see that. When it's affluence, sometimes people are dafke not happy. They say the more you have, the more you want. You have 100, you want 200. So the blessing here is that you will taka have enough. You will have more than enough, but you will also be content with what you have. So that's a tremendous... the Chassam Sofer says that about these words. That's why it's a double. So it's not only that you have enough and you feel secure, but you will feel peace, at peace with what you have. So you won't need to constantly go more. The other one also is that there will be, beautiful. So not only peace for people, but there will be harmony between all the elements of creation. So nature will be peaceful. No natural disasters, no big earthquakes and terrible tornadoes and whatever. Very beautiful idea. That's why also double. So for people and the land itself will be at peace. The other one last one, that we say that when we're talking about, so there's simple, v'yashavtem levetach, you'll live securely, but also sholayim ba'aretz means like the time of Mashiach, when even the animals that usually don't get along, like the lion and the sheep, they will get along. So in other words, it's a very beautiful thing where things that usually, like really naturally shouldn't go together, will go together. So that's even the greatest possible. So that's in a nutshell in this bracha. Just quickly finish the other two, three brachas. So then we go to the next one, is the blessing of victory over the enemies. That's what it says. We mentioned that 100 of you will chase 1,000, whatever it is. Because, and what is the part of this bracha? I'll just mention a few beautiful things that it says, that you will see in Pasuk Zion on page 2. It says you will pursue your enemies and they will fall by the sword. What does that mean? They will soar by the sword before you. So it explains beautifully that first of all like this. Sometimes when a few chase many, what happens is that what you imagine is that the many will run away, so they're not a threat to you anymore. But will you be able to actually destroy them? No, because you're a few. So here it says, even though you're a few, not only will they run away, but you'll actually catch them and you'll be able to get rid of them, so you'll have true security. But even more, what will happen is by the time you reach them, they will already be gone. It says, and they will fall by the sword before you. They will kill each other. Civil war. By the time you get there, you have to do nothing. They're already, all the enemies are gone. So it's just magnificent the way the brachas are. So it's very, very beautiful. And then the fourth one is a flourishing economy and multiplying in numbers. Because then it says, let's see where it says that. In Pasuk Tes, I will turn towards you, I'll make you fruitful and increase you, I will set my covenant with you. So this is the concept of multiplying with numbers. And he says beautifully that what this means is that there will be not only in quantity, large numbers, but in quality. Sometimes when you have a lot in quantity, it goes down in quality. He says, no, it will be both. But we're talking about children, we're talking about everything. Everything will be, that's why he says, v'efreisi, v'herbeisi, you see, fruitful and increase. So we'll be in both. Everything will be wonderful, and it won't affect. And the last one is, of course, the one that we're waiting most in a sense, is Pasuk Yud Aleph, v'nasati mishkani b'seichachem, I will place my dwelling in your midst, and my spirit will not reject you. And this is the concept, you can say on a simple level, Hashem will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, Mishkan, right? That I will again live amongst you. But some of the commentaries say, no, this is not referring to the time of Mashiach, it's referring to even now when you are in exile, that I will make my Mishkan. Now, Mishkan can mean my dwelling, but Mishkan, a mashkein, is a deposit. Which means that very, very interesting thing, that Hashem says a fascinating thing, that the Jewish people, see here, the Zohar says, mashkein, my pawned object among you. He says, even when the Shekhinah is pawned, which means that because we are in exile, so it's like Hashem has been pawned, so he says, doesn't matter. He's still going to take himself and come to us. Even though he should be in the pawn shop, right? In other words, what it means is, when the idea, the analogy is that when we don't deserve, right, that Hashem should be amongst us, we're not on that spiritual level. So therefore, he's like in a pawn shop, right? He's somewhere else, and we have to earn being able to redeem Hashem, in a sense. More Torah, more spirituality. But even when we haven't reached that level, Hashem will still come and live with us. And that's why he says, that's why the language is Mishkani b'soichechem. So I will take myself, even though I am pawned, and I will be amongst you, because I will never reject you. Doesn't matter how low you go, doesn't matter how far you are, I will always be with you. And then I can bring you back with me. That's the goal. Okay, and as he says beautifully, that even when the Jewish people sin, Hashem should reject them, but he will not. And also beautifully, this is also something important, I will finish with this, a very important thing, that a little bit of a difference between this Bechukaisai and Kisavai. Bechukaisai is in the plural. You see, everything's in the plural. In Kisavai, it's in the singular. Because this is talking to the Jewish people as a whole, as a community more. And that's why, in a sense, we do have more, it's actually less curses also, but it's also more the concept that Hashem never leaves us. Because as a Jewish people, as a nation, we have the security, we definitely have the promise that we will never disappear. An individual has to worry a little bit more about themselves, right? Because you don't know what you can cause in your life. Not you won't disappear, but you could cause yourself to be distanced from Hashem. And perhaps in your own lifetime, maybe you choose not to come back. That's a choice you make. But as a nation, that will never happen. There will never be a separation between the Jewish people and Hashem as a whole, no matter how far we seem to have traveled. And that's the idea here also, that I will always be with you you're my people, and I am your God, I am your father, I'm your shepherd, and I will always be with you. And that's why he finishes, that I will walk amongst you, and I will be your God, and you will be my nation. You see, that's how he finishes. Okay, so that's the brachas in a nutshell, to explain it, as we can say. Another beautiful thing is it says that there will not be a third destruction, that I will make my Mishkan amongst you, because even Hashem destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, there's nothing like that will ever happen again. I think that's basically all for now. Oh, there was... Well, there is a third temple, but that will never be destroyed. It's coming. It's built. We just need to reveal it. That's it. Okay, I think that's all. There was many more beautiful things, but we'll leave it there, I think. Okay, yeah. Okay, so next week. I feel bad. I thought I would do it this week. Okay, but we didn't manage. But